state tournament action continues next week. The girls take over the hardwood, and Brian Cosgrove joins us, head coach of the number one team in 4A all year long, the Hopkins Royals. Brian, always good to visit with you. How you been?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on, Steve.
Yeah, good to visit with you. And quite a section final. Two of the best teams in the state, your club and Wayzata, went at it again. And you really feel for a team like Wayzata that had such a great year, get all the way to the section final, really take you guys right down to the wire, and they won't be able to play at state. It's a shame the way it played out for them, but you've got to be thrilled with a hard-fought win.
Oh, yeah. Anytime you can get to the state tournament, you got to feel very fortunate about the experience. And Wayzata, yes, I do feel for them. I've been in their shoes a number of times. And to be outside looking in, it's very difficult to take. I mean, they've got some great players over there that, because of their experience, they had to call it a career on Thursday night. But you know what? Unfortunately, that's the way it is, and there's nothing we can do about it. I liked Ron Hagstrom's article he had in the paper a couple weeks ago about seeding the 64, and we've talked about that for a number of years, but it doesn't seem to come to fruition, and I'm not quite sure why, but I think it would be a great idea.
Yeah, and it is one of those things, and I saw that as well, and there's been a lot of discussion about that, even over at the boys' hockey tournament by some of the members of the media, some folks from the high school league, and they say, how would it work from 4A, 3A, 2A, 1A? Would it ultimately work? Is the state tournament rooted in sections and regional representation of the state? There are a lot of arguments for and against, but it would be fun to see ultimately the best teams in the state, wherever they're from, play in a state tournament, no matter what level it is.
No question about it. I think you could do it very similar to the NCAA and how they do it. But I'm quite honestly, it's above my pay grade, and I don't know the particulars of how everything goes. But I think ultimately to have the best eight teams in the state playing in the state tournament would be the goal of everyone, and I think it would make for a great state tournament.
We're joined by Brian Cosgrove, head coach of the Hopkins Royals. They go into the 4A tournament as the number one seed. As a matter of fact, they will open the state tournament on Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. at Williams Arena. They play Cambridge Isani, and then at noon, number 4 Park Center against number 5 Stillwater. And the other side of the bracket, number 2 Farmington gets Eden Prairie at 2 at the Barn, followed by St. Michael Albertville against Lakeville North. And that game will get started at around 3 o'clock on the Rays floor in Williams Arena. Let's talk about your team, talk about the year, Brian. I know we visited earlier in the season. It has been a whirlwind. So much attention, rightfully so, around Paige Beckers. There's been so much media attention, and Paige has handled it all so beautifully. And you're up close. You're a part of this whole thing going on at Hopkins. It really has been an extraordinary season.
It really has. I mean, I quite honestly, I've never seen anything like it from the standpoint. I mean, we have probably 50 to 75 people waiting outside our locker room or team room after games waiting to get Paige's autograph. And, the cool thing about it is Paige will stay after every game and she'll sign autographs for everybody, take pictures. And, her teammates, they're taking it all in as well. And Paige is not arrogant or cocky about it. And, it's been really cool. And sometimes I feel overwhelmed by the attention, but, we just say enjoy the experience and never know if this will ever happen again. It's been fun. I'm not going to lie. It's been a really good time.
And, Brian, you've been around the game for a long time and been a coach of this program. What's this year like been for you? And, kind of being, not only the coach, but trying to manage all of this.
Well, it's been a really great year for me personally because my daughter is on the team and, she doesn't get to play a lot or anything like that. But, we've been able to spend a lot of quality time together and talk about a number of things. And then there's a player on my team named Amaya Battle, who I've seen grow up since second grade. And just to see her development and you know, KK Adams, to see her develop. And it's been just a tremendous experience for me, and one that I'll remember for the rest of my life. And I feel that hopefully at the end of the day, the girls will feel the same way about this, because we talked about it today in practice. I mean, prior to us getting to the state tournament in 2002, they hadn't been there since 1978. So you can never take this experience for granted, and understand that this is a very special experience for everyone.
And Paige Becker's big night in that section final against Wayzata, 33 points. And in the stands, there were NBA guys. Karl-Anthony Towns and company came out. I mean, it's been that kind of year. And it really kind of opens your eyes to the fact that, you know, what Paige has done for the girls' game and bringing attention to it, because it is a wonderful game. There's so many great teams around the state at all levels. I've had a chance to see Park Center play. They've got a terrific player, Adalia McKenzie, so fun to watch. I mean, it's all good. It's a rising tide that lifts all boats, and it's so true in this case.
Well, the beautiful thing about it, Steve, is that I think people are getting out and seeing the girls' game at a record number. I mean, we've played in front of packed houses probably, you know, 10, 15 times this year. And we've had people come from Chicago to watch Paige play. And, you know, when you get, like in our section game the other night, there was probably 3,000 fans there, and they put signs on the door. It was sold out. They weren't letting anybody else in there. And you had the Timberwolves there, and Cable 12 was doing a game. I mean, it was just a great environment for girls athletics. And then to see the quality of play that was going on, it was amazing. And, you know, I had never seen anything like that on the girls' side. I'd seen some stuff like that when I was with Kenny on the boys' side. But, you know, on the girls' side, I'd never seen anything like that. And hopefully the people walked away just going, you know what, these kids can play. That was a fun experience.
As you move into the state tournament, I'm sure a little bit you talked about it in practice. Still three to go. We still have to play three games, and we're going to see very good teams. And it goes without saying, the number one seed, number one all year, all of that attention. You'll have a target on your back. You get everyone's best shot every night.
Yeah, we're kind of used to that. I'm not going to lie. You know, we've been good for a couple of years now, and the fact of the matter is we're going to get everybody's best game. And you know what, when you're in the state tournament, regardless of who you are, you're going to get everyone's best game. So if people aren't ready for that, they probably shouldn't be there, because, you know, you're playing for the state championship, and your ultimate goal is to get to, in 4A, 8 o'clock on Saturday night.
And, Brian, beyond that, we've talked a lot about Paige, rightfully so, gets a lot of attention. But it's a team game, and she has a really good team around her. Maya Nagy is one that stands out to me and seems night in and night out. And there's other, you know, good players on this team, but she really is a special player in her own right.
Oh, no question about it. I mean, she's 6'4", and she can shoot it, and she's got good hands and good feet. And, you know, she's getting stronger every year. You know, she's got great genetics in terms of, you know, her brother Zeke Nagy. He's having a wonderful career down in Arizona. And I really think her best basketball is ahead of her yet. We're real pleased with her play. We're real pleased with Taylor Woodson. Taylor Woodson's a ninth grader who can run and jump like nobody else, and she's very coachable. She's averaging about 16 a night, rebounds the heck out of the basketball, shoots the basketball really well. And then, you know, we have Nunu Agara, who's a 6'1 post with size 13 men's feet, who can grab the rim. And, I mean, she's very athletic. And then KK Adams is a tremendous three-point shooter. Amaya Battle has been my point guard now for 3 years. And unfortunately for her, she had a stress fracture in her back, so she missed 2 months of the season this year. So she's still kind of getting into shape, but you know what? She's a sponge, and she's absorbing it. And when you go through something like that, you realize how lucky you are to be able to get back and play on this great experience that we're having this year.
And then on the floor at the barn, I know you love that as well, Brian.
Oh, to me, it's the Wrigley Field of Minneapolis. I just think it's something that, you know, as a kid, I always wanted to play at Williams Arena. And if you're from here, you just really treasure that experience to be it basically playing on what I feel is a stage. And for me, when I started playing basketball, the very first basketball game I ever went to was the Ohio State-Minnesota Brawl in 1972. And from then on, I've been just enthralled with Williams Arena and University of Minnesota sports. And it's just really fun to be over on the campus.
Brian Cosgrove joining us. Hopkins heads into the 4A tournament on Thursday at Williams Arena against Cambridge Isani. And number one overall seed, the number two, Farmington. The number three is St. Michael Albertville. The number four, Park Center. And the number five, Stillwater area. 10 a.m. games. I know that's part of the deal. That's when they schedule them. Any concerns about 10 a.m.? I'm not sure you played a 10 a.m. game to this point.
No, we haven't. But, you know, we really like the 10 a.m. game because, you know, kids want to get out of school and they all come. I mean, it's a great time. They all want to get up. You know, they get a ticket to the game, a ticket to the bus, or a ticket for the bus ride, and they don't have to go to school that day. And they treat it like a big old party. So it's probably our best student attended game in terms of our school going. You know, and if you're fortunate enough to get past that game, you play at 6 o'clock on the next night. But your kids are usually involved with their spring sports or they've got something else going on in their lives, so it's really not that well attended. So we like the 10 o'clock game.
All right. Well, always good to visit with you. We'll see you at the state tournament.
Thank you so much, Steve. Appreciate you supporting high school girls athletics and everything that you do. You're just an amazing show. We love listening to you.
Thanks so much. There he is, Brian Cosgrove, head coach, number one 4A seed Hopkins. Cambridge Isani opens the tournament at Williams Arena on Wednesday at 10 a.m. Then they go again on Thursday with the semifinals in 4A at 6 and 8 at the Barn, and then the title game late Saturday night. It'll be an 8 o'clock start at Williams Arena. Great spot for the state tournament. They utilize Maturi Pavilion next door. And then, of course, they play at Williams Arena. Just a great setting for the girls' state tournament over at the U starting on Wednesday. The girls' state basketball tournament gets started at Williams Arena and Maturi Pavilion over at the U. Action gets started on Wednesday. And ultimately, quarterfinal action continues on Thursday in 1A. And the number one seed in 1A, Mineota, they take on Red Lake in the opener at 11 a.m. at Maturi Pavilion, followed by number four, Waterville Elysian Morristown against Heritage Christian at 1 o'clock. And then later in the day at Maturi Pavilion at 3, number two, Cromwell Wright battles Belgrade Brute and Elrose. And at 5 o'clock, number three, Henning against Fillmore Central. And the head coach of the number one team in 1A, and they've been number one all year long, the Mineota Vikings head coach Chad Johnston joins us. And coach, congrats on a great year. Wow.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah, and a great group. Abby Hennon, Morgan Hennon really leading the way for your team.
Yeah, they've done a great job of being, you know, leaders for us. They're, you know, the two main key returners for us. We graduated three starters from last year's state championship team, and you know, really good quality kids that we were, you know, a little uncertain how this season was going to start off, just having to replace some of those players like Lydia Seussner and Morgan Cockleman and Lizzie Gillingham. And, you know, the two Hennon girls are the two girls that started with that group and, you know, had the most experience. They've just done a wonderful job of being great leaders. And of course, everyone else has just done a wonderful job of picking up their role with the team and just really not stepping down from where we left off last year.
And a dominant run through the sections. Just big wins in four victories to get back to state. You had to be thrilled. Your team's got to be playing great right now.
We are playing very good basketball. And we have been probably since about Christmas. And we've just been doing a lot of good things. Of course, have a few of those games where things don't go exactly what you wanted to do. But I think one of the key things for us is this group has been playing very good defense throughout the year. And so if we ever have those games that we're a little slow on offense to start with, our defense does a nice job of keeping us in the game, and it just takes a while to get us going. And fortunately for most games, we found that run at some point in time to get things rolling. And then once we do, kids just kind of feed off that.
Yeah, and Chad, what's going on in Mineota? I'm sure you get asked this, the other coaches. Great athletics, boys and girls. It's a perennial power.
You know, we're really fortunate. You know, we've got very committed kids. We've got kids that believe in what we're doing in all of our programs, and very supportive school, very supportive community. But right now, you know as well as I do, you can't do things without kids that are committed. And you know, the group that I have working with us with basketball, a lot of them are playing volleyball, state champions in volleyball this year, and they're just, you know, that was half the battle over the years is for me to convince people you can be good at, you know, multiple things. You don't have to be just good at one thing. And once we figured that out, the girls have just kind of rolled with it, and each year keep working hard. And yeah, it's pretty fortunate to be part of what we've created over the years.
Yeah, and in a smaller community, a smaller school, you've got to be involved. Some of the bigger schools here in the cities, there maybe isn't room for kids to play more than one sport or be involved in one thing because there is so much competition. But I also think in a place like Mineota, all the success in a way breeds success because the next group coming in says, hey, we want to be as good or better as those outgoing seniors, if you will.
You know, and I've always kind of said that, you know, the same story that success breeds success. And, you know, I used to always kind of say, you know, I think, you know, nobody wants to be the group to drop the ball. You know, when you've had so much success, no one wants to be that team that doesn't have as much success or is not as successful the year before them. And I think that's what kind of just motivates kids to keep working harder. And again, when you are successful, kids want to be part of that and they work hard to keep it going. So, yeah, I agree with you. It continues to breed success, and kids keep buying in, and they keep working hard.
Now, what about that 11 a.m. game? You play Red Lake. How much do you know about them in Thursday's opener?
Well, we haven't had a chance to exchange tape yet. You know, we did play Red Lake last year in the opening round. You know, they had us on our heels to start with last year. They kind of up like by 20 points early in the game, and really, defensively, they had done a great job of keeping us out of rhythm, and their press was throwing us some fits. And it kind of took us a while to settle in, and eventually we got the win. But, you know, I know we kind of keeping track of scores throughout the year. You know, I know they kind of had a slow start. They were losing some games early in the year, which kind of surprised me because they only had graduated to the one girl from last year's group, so we expected big things out of them. But kind of sounds like they maybe had some cohesive issues maybe. For a while, it sounded like their coach said once they kind of got things figured out come Christmas break. And I think since Christmas break, they're like 19-1 and putting up some big numbers. And that's what they do. They play very aggressive defense, which leads to a lot of transition buckets. And, you know, a key for us, and it was key for us last year once we got things rolling, we've got to be able to handle the pressure that they'd like to put on us. And they've got some girls who can shoot the rock and do some good things from the perimeter. We just can't let them get going on from the three-point line. And I guess just keep doing things that we've been doing throughout the season.
And Maturi Pavilion and Williams Arena, a great setting. Just an ideal setup for the girls' state tournament. It's phenomenal.
It is a very nice setup. You know, it's nice to have them right next to each other. You know, you have the luxury of kind of going back and forth. You know, kind of miss a little bit of the Target Center a little bit. That was always a great place to play. But Williams Arena is an excellent place to play, and having finals there is a great place. And so, looking forward to hopefully putting together a nice good run. I'd like to get there for the last couple days, but you got to go through the first one to get there.
Yeah, and what about the tournament itself? As you mentioned, you know, you kind of have the seeding meeting, if you will, and the draw, and you figure out who you're going to get. But what do you think about this field going into the tournament on Thursday?
Well, you know, there's some new faces this year. You know, we've been fortunate to be up here a few times, and your Mountain Iron Buell and your Ada Borup, and, you know, Goodhue went up to AA. I mean, there's some of these teams that you've kind of gotten familiar with seeing up there. You know, those teams aren't there this year. We've got some new faces. We did see Cromwell Wright. We played them first game of the year this year and the breakdown and got a close win against them. And we also saw BBE and a Holiday Classic, so we're kind of familiar with them, but and seeing Red Lake last year. But now all of a sudden you got Wem in there and Henning in there and Fillmore Central, and you know, now all of a sudden we're talking about some teams that we've never seen play over the years. So it'll definitely be interesting. It's always nice to see some new faces there. So we're looking forward to, again, putting together a good run and trying to have a very successful indoor season.
Yeah, and Chad, one of the advantages of playing early at 11 a.m., if you take care of business and get it done, you can kick back and watch all these other teams play their quarterfinal games.
Yeah, you can. I know, and the quarterfinal game before us, I know our girls, we're talking hopefully Marshall, you know, who's 12 miles from us. They were playing in a section final and hoping they would make it up there so we'd get a chance to maybe go up and cheer them on. Unfortunately, they got beat in a close game, so it kind of took that element away. Some of the other teams we typically go up and watch aren't there, but I know our girls are excited to go watch Hopkins play, so we're definitely going to make a trip one day to watch one of their games.
Yeah, I mean, Paige Becker's in the Hopkins Royals. She's drawing NBA guys to a section final. There were Timberwolves that came out to see her play in a section final, so that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, our girls have had a chance to see her once at a Sweet 16, but they said that was definitely, well, we're always trying to coordinate what we do when we're up there during the off time. They said that's one they want to go see, so I think they're excited to see her play and the rest of the Hopkins team.
Well, congrats to Mineota on a great year. Good luck at the state tournament. Thanks so much, Coach.
Thanks, I appreciate you having me.
All right, Chad Johnston, head coach of the Mineota Vikings, ranked number one, the number one seed in the girls' 1A tournament starting Thursday at Maturi Pavilion. They get Red Lake right out of the gate. They are going to overtime in that 1A title game at the XL Energy Center in St. Paul. Matamidi and Hermantown knotted at 2. Hermantown gets a goal with 21 seconds remaining to tie it up. They review it. Good goal. And on we play in St. Paul. They're taking a breather. They'll go for 8 minutes. And right now we're going to talk 2A hockey. The title game is set. Eden Prairie and Hill Murray tonight, 7 o'clock. St. Paul, you'll hear it here on News Talk 830 WCCO. He's been good enough to join us from time to time this season. Head coach of the Eden Prairie Eagles, Lee Smith. And Lee, always good to visit with you. Congrats on a trip to another title game.
Thank you. It's always great to talk to you, too.
Yeah, and Lee never gets old playing in state tournaments and coaching in state tournaments and getting an opportunity to play for a title. This is really what it's all about.
Yeah, you know, when I started here, we were just trying to hopefully have an opportunity. I grew up in Wilmer, and we never really had a chance to go to the state tournament. So when I took over here at Eden Prairie, we wanted to try to create something where we could have an opportunity in our kids of our program have developed a lot of good players, and I'm so proud of the kids. Every year it's a different group of kids, so it makes it special in its own different way.
Yeah, good run in this tournament for your team for sure. Beating Lakeville South in the opener and then taking down Blake 4-1. That was a whale of a hockey game on Friday night in St. Paul. Your counterpart at Blake, Rob McClanahan, you know, talked in his post-game press conference on what a great hockey game that was. It really was tremendous.
It was a spectacle of our sport. I was really impressed with Blake. I'd seen him play a lot of times. We'd lost the last two times we'd played him. Our goalie played really well for us. We had a good scheme as far as what our kids did to execute, which they had to do to give us a chance to beat Blake. Blake has tremendous players. Tremendous coach and a great history, you know, more so in maybe Class A, but now with the move to Double A, they sure have made some noise fast.
Yeah, it was a tight game. Your guys ultimately prevail, and you brought up the goaltending. Axel Rosenlund, what a tournament, what a game on Friday night. Just a huge key for your team.
No question about it. You know, we had a good goaltending battle all year long with him and Eli Andrews. Both played really well for us, but Axel had carried us to the state tournament final last year and was a senior, and we just felt like his experience at the tournament and playing those pressure games would really help us down the stretch, and so far it's worked out in our favor. He's a great kid, and as long as he keeps calm like he has been, it really helps our bench.
And you talked about that a great deal post-game last night after your victory at the XL Energy Center and how that, and I get the sense that it has a ripple effect when he's calm, everybody plays free and easy, if you will.
No question about it. You know, we like to make plays. We're not a sit back team. We're not a defensive team. We're an attack team. And when we have someone back there that's playing calm and we can play our game, play on our toes, then everything seems to go well for the Eagles. And the way he's playing right now through sections and into this state tournament couple games, we've been able to play our game, and which is a lot of fun to watch us play.
And some guys really stepped up for you and guys you've leaned on. Ben Steves is a guy that's been huge all year.
No question about it. He's a great leader, great teammate, and he contributes so much offensively and defensively. You know, with him and Johnny Mittelstadt, the leadership that he's provided this year, he's gone from being the goal scorer all the way through to now he's a distributor, still scores. But the main thing he does is lead. He is a warrior, and we're so lucky to have John Mittelstadt.
Another guy that stands out, just a sophomore, Jackson Blake. He's a kid that has a lot of skill and had a big goal in the game Friday night.
Yeah, he's got an unbelievable hockey sense. His dad being an NHLer, I think a lot of it rubbed off on him, and his mom was a collegiate volleyball player. So he's got good bloodlines. Yeah. He is a tremendous player, great hard worker, and we're sure lucky to have him.
And on the blue line, you've got what I like to call the steady Eddies, and that's a good thing. Guys like Mason Langenbrunner, junior back there, so steady all night.
Yeah, he really elevated his game. He's been tremendous for us all year, but last night he was phenomenal in a pressure situation. Another one, you know, Luke Mittelstadt, you know, got a lot of fame being all Metro, but Cam Langfeld has had another stellar tournament to date, and Luke Busby's been playing really well for us back there as a senior. So the four of them have really played well. We also been able to sprinkle in the other two that have done well for us, but those four have been really unbelievable for us.
Eden Prairie head coach Lee Smith joining us. Eagles play for the title against Hill Murray. We'll get started at 7 o'clock here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Lee, one of the things you talked about post-game last night after the win over Blake was the depth and how that pays dividends. You're playing three games in 3 days and no game bigger than tonight. And you're comfortable, you know, putting a lot of guys out there.
Yeah, you know, through the course of the year, we played in two tournaments where we play three games like this. So we kind of force ourselves to play our whole bench, learn as much as we can about our kids during the course of the year. And, you know, we feel very comfortable in what we're doing and the guys out there. I think with the injuries and with Jackson having to sit out for a while this year, a lot of guys had an opportunity to play some significant minutes, which makes us better down the stretch.
Well, Lee, always a pleasure to visit with you. And thanks so much for the time today, and we'll see you tonight.
Thank you so much. We have a lot of respect for Bill Lechner and Hill Murray, and we know it's going to be a great hockey game honoring the wonderful sport we have here in Minnesota. So thanks, Steve.
All right, there he is, Lee Smith, once again, head coach of the Eden Prairie Eagles. They take on the Hill Murray Pioneers tonight in that 2A title game. By the way, we have a champion in 1A. A moment ago, Matamidi gets a game winner in overtime, and Matamidi beats Hermantown 3-0. The Zephyrs are the champions of 1A. 2A title game coming up tonight. You'll hear it here beginning at 7 o'clock. Hill Murray against Eden Prairie, and Pioneers head coach Bill Lechner joins us on the line. And Bill, good to visit with you again. You were good enough to join us a week ago to preview the state tournament. Here we are on the brink of a title game, and there's nothing quite like it, is it?
Yeah, it's. We're glad to be here. I'm glad I'm talking to you again. Let's put it that way. Yeah, it'll be fun tonight.
Yeah, and your team's played really well in this tournament. Strong start against the Moorhead Spuds, and then a hard-fought win over St. Thomas Academy. You took a two-goal lead early. Dylan Godbout, a couple of power play goals early, but But then they really kind of locked it down defensively. I'm sure you knew that they could get it done defensively and play a physical, hard to get stuff done against style.
Right. Obviously, everybody knows, but that's the third game we've played against them this year because they're in our conference. You know, and tied them at Christmas 1-1, and, you know, and obviously at the zone battle, and then beat them at Aldrich about a month ago by a goal. So we knew it was going to be a close game, and, you know, they work hard and compete, and we were fortunate to come out on top.
Yeah, and the two goals were big early because I go back to their upset win over number one seed Andover in the quarterfinals. They got that lead in the third period, and Andover just couldn't really buy a great opportunity. They had 15 shots in the third, but, you know, they just kept everything to the outside. So I would assume you had to be happy with that quick start.
Right. Yep. Yeah, it was pretty important and pretty key. It's easy to say after the game, but it's to get a lead, then they have to open up a little bit. I thought we went in just a little bit too much of a shell and then kind of lost our way as far as, you know, team play a little bit. We got a little bit uncharacteristic at moments, but the guys battled through and competed, and, you know, we've seen a resiliency all year to do that. So, you know, whether we get up early or down early, we've competed against a very strong schedule this year. So hopefully ready for tonight.
Yeah, and Bill, you talked about that post game that you played a strong schedule, that these guys really put in the work, and you felt confident that they would have the jump and energy in overtime to get it done.
Yeah, the guys really have worked hard on and off the ice. And I know a lot of schools and a lot of teams, and these are all cliches, but it's true. This group, banded together. You know, we had a lot of guys back, even though we're still young. We only had 6 seniors. We've had guys that, you know, played on this varsity team in 8th and 9th grade. So, you know, they're maturing now, and most of them are juniors and seniors and a few sophomores. So they bonded. They did a lot of stuff off the ice, you know, just things that really help. And then on the ice and off the ice conditioning, they worked really, really hard. So I'm happy for this group.
Charlie Strobel got the game winner, and Dylan Godbout stopped by the media room after the game, and a couple of impressive kids. And it's the first time I had heard the story that their dad played on the 91 Hill Murray State Championship team. That's a great tie and really speaks to the tradition at Hill Murray.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You know, the second generation coming through, and there, you know, there's their sons are sitting side by side as teammates. And yep, it's pretty, you know, it's one of those stories that's, you know, a little bit unique. But at Hill, you know, there's kind of second generations that come through and a lot of good families and teams.
Yeah, and Charlie Strobel, really a neat kid, and what a leader.
Yeah, he's a great kid. I've said it, you know, and you got to have hats off together. You know, we happen to have three captains and alternates here, but, you know, they're all different personalities. You know, we got Henry Eichen and our goalie are kind of quiet kids and lead by example most part. And then you got Seamus Regan, who's kind of our you know, our grown-up of the group, or the calm in the storm, and Charlie's our heartbeat. So it's a good mix of captains.
Yeah, and Bill, I saw a shot right at the beginning of overtime. You seemed calm going into overtime. It didn't come up post-game last night, but you had a sense of calm. You've been through this stuff before and been through it a lot this season. You talked about all the overtime games this year.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. On a positive, that's our it went through my mind, and I hope not the kids, but that was our first overtime. We had two or three ties in overtime, three ties and three losses in overtime, I think. So it was good to come out on top in the overtime. But, you know, you can only do so much, and we've said it before. You know, there's not a lot of coaching going on at that time. So I think the more you relax and you make those kids believe that everything's okay, I believe that it will help them be calm and work hard. But, yeah, don't kid yourself. Inside you're turning, but it does no good to be crazy on the outside, you know. Live and learn from years of screwing up to try and get things right when you get older.
And you brought it up, Coach, about how you do try and keep it simple at a state tournament. The games come fast and furious. All of a sudden, it's TV, the bright lights, the XL Energy Center, boom, Thursday, Friday, now a championship game on Saturday. And not trying to tell these kids too much.
Right. Yeah, I think, you know, because in the beginning of the year, if you watch and the good teams, you know, you start off and you start with energy and you're flying all over, but, you know, and they come off a fall league and elite league and playing other sports. So they're just coming out as athletes and they're flying all over. But then you got to put a system in and you got to get them to believe it. You got to play with them without the puck, you know. And so long story short, you got to get all that in for a little while you're trying to win games and be competitive. Your feet quit moving because your brain's thinking. So then, you know, your job during the year with competition and strength of schedule is get them to move their feet and their brain think less, but they're actually living the system. And I think that's what, you know, the successful teams, obviously Eden Prairie and Hill-Marie tonight, I believe both teams accomplished that.
And Eden Prairie, Hill-Marie, once again, Hill-Marie synonymous with trips to state championship games, very competitive program. Eden Prairie, same deal. Should be a great matchup tonight.
Should be a great matchup. Obviously, they got a lot of great young athletes, and Lee Smith does a great job with him with their staff. And yeah, we're excited to play them. There's a strong respect, even though we don't play each other a lot. You know, a few years back we did a little bit more, but the schedules won't allow it with the conferences didn't line up. But you know, respected. I know that they respect us, and we respect them very much. And hopefully, it'll be a really classy, you know, memorable high school hockey game section or state tournament final.
Well, Bill, we appreciate the time. As always, thanks so much. Look forward to the title game tonight. Hill-Marie and Eden Prairie go at it 7 o'clock tonight at the Xcel Energy Center. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, there he is, Bill Lechner. Good enough to join us, longtime head coach, two veteran head coaches, Bill Lechner of Hill-Marie and earlier Lee Smith from Eden Prairie going at it. The Pioneers 21-6-3, titles in 83, 91, and 08. And a thrilling victory last night, late in the first overtime, 3-2, to beat St. Thomas Academy in advance to that championship game against Eden Prairie.